Not as big a receiver, though, obviously.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarrell Hodge, 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15, 10, 5,
bang.
Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons. Good morning. He did it. Atlanta, this is the morning shift. I am Bo Morgan, Squid Billy, as you may know me. He is the All-American former teammate of Ring of Honors, Matt Ryan, and Todd Mud Duck McClure.
Roddy White. The list goes on.
Michael P. Johnson.
Yeah, man.
And hey, y'all know what? He's healthy, and he's wonderful, Michael. Wow, what a game last night. The Falcons, in overtime, beat Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football to take control of first place in the division. They win it in overtime 36-30. And, Mike, I don't know where to start, but holy smokes, the offense, finally. How many games have we not broken the 30-point barrier? And we busted through it like the Kool-Aid man last night.
In the most shocking of fashions. In the most shocking of fashions, dude. I still, and what is it? I think it's been right at 6.5 hours since this game ended. I think it ended right around 11:35-ish last night. I know we
you
got
like
on
that.
Air for the.
You yeah. like that?
You do like that, dude.
I do, Kirk. I do.
There's no doubt about it. And before I go any further, phone lines will be wide open today. 404-726-0929. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, man. I don't even know which direction to start. I guess you can start with, the game-winning touchdown. We just heard the call of Wes and Dave last night. Obviously, that's your booth, and you're sitting right there between those two guys, man. But it sounded to me like Arch was ready to headbutt somebody. Man, I hope you took cover, because that dude looked like he was ready to freaking roll right off the top. And Wes, as always, with the classic call, Kadarrell Hodge in for Drake London, spins out of a tackle, accelerates, gets it done and runs away towards the end zone with the Falcon victory last night.
Well, that's where I'm confused. Well, yeah, Arch was on. He's on one last night. In fact, we'll get into some of the superstitions we had last night in the booth, which was immediate. Arch and I were losing our mind, and Wes did what he does so brilliantly, which is the controlled chaos call, where it's controlled excitement, right? He is excited, but he never breaks that play-by-play guy, and he can always finish a call perfectly. There were a lot of heroes last night.
to say the least.
It starts with a man who rudely broke Ring of Honor inductee on the night of his moment. Kirk Cousins breaks Matt Ryan's all-time single-game passing record, which was at 503, I believe, now at 509. He went off. But Drake London has 12 for 154. Darnell Mooney has 9 for 105. My guy, your guy, our guy, Kyle Pitts, has 7 for 88. And by the way,
had an explosive earlier. Ding.
He was phenomenal blocking last night. The best blocking game he might have had that I've seen in his career. But none of it is possible, and I say none, as in they don't win the game like they do if Drake London doesn't come out for Kadarrell Hodge. And Drake London gets hit hard. It looked like he took a shot to the ribs.
Yeah, for the second time on the night he had to come out.
Has to come out. And then, the play to Kadarrell Hodge where, I don't know if we have it, but I know Kirk said in an interview with Dave Archer last night, he goes, it's a bad route against man coverage. And what he means by that, Mike, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't a bad ran route. It's just a bad route to beat man coverage. But he says, forget it. I'm gonna drive it in there, and it just takes one missed tackle.
I loved that cut, and I said something to go for it. I said, man, what a complete U-turn we've done at the quarterback position talking about plays like that. Let's listen to it.
Drake doesn't get dinged up. Drake's in on that play, but man coverage is really not a great route versus man coverage, but I felt the corner off, and I thought I'll just drive it to him, and I felt the corner closing, and I thought it was going to be tight, and then the way he pulled out of it and did the rest himself, impressive play by him, and it shows why he's on our football team, but what a great way to finish.
Dude, the celebration that the video has been, I think it was tweeted out by the NFL, it's going viral a little bit, of Kadarrell Hodge walking into the locker room. Tweeted this out last night, man. It tells you everything you need to know about a dude like Kadarrell Hodge when his teammates react the way that they reacted when he walked in the locker room. Kirk walks in right in front of him, gives it a, you know, let's freaking go or something along those lines. And the anticipation of the rest of that team when Kadarius Hodge walks through the threshold of that locker room right in front of Arthur Blank, it's got to be one of the coolest moments of Kadarius Hodge's career, dude.
Yeah, I as you guys know, I'm down there, and we're in a room, just to peel the curtain back a little bit, we're in a room right beside it, I can hear it, but I can tell that they're waiting on something, and I'm waiting on Blaine Komet, who's my camera guy, who does, if you watch any of Fox 5's coverage, he's in there in the locker room with Arch and myself. And so I open the door on the outside, and I can see that they're waiting. I see Willie waiting. So I knew that Kirk and Drake were still out there, or excuse me, Kadarius. And then I see him coming, and the look on Kadarius' face as he walked by me coming off post-game interview to go right, and it was right before he went into the locker room. It's special, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, this is sports, but, you know, we talk about sports and what's real out there, and we've had a lot of realness going on in this world lately, especially our brothers in North Carolina, you know, up there, our neighbors. But this is something this man has worked for his entire life, and to have that moment, you just can't take it away. I mean, that'll always be his moment, and it was cool to see, and I mean, it's crazy because we watched him for 2 years in what seemed like purgatory in an Arthur Smith offense.
Yeah, I think, look, man, you've heard me say this a number of times. I as an offensive lineman, I say this all the time. I don't think you simply play offensive line. I just think that's a mentality that you just have, right? And to me, and of course I'm going to highlight this because, you know, that's kind of what it is. I think there's just a level of selflessness that comes with the fact that you're just going to do the grunt work, all right, and you're going to allow everybody else to shine. That's it. To me, Kadarius Hodge is like an offensive lineman that plays wide receiver, dude. And it's because he does the grunt work, does the special teams. He mentioned it a number of times, you know, in the interview with Arch, you know, just about how he kind of works for this. And everybody knows he's selfless. And I thought that was so cool to kind of be highlighted by that locker room celebration of how much it meant to the rest of the team that he was the guy doing the catch and run.
Yeah, I want to – the question has been all over – in Atlanta, and look, it's been rightfully so. What's wrong? What's wrong with the offense? Why haven't we seen? We got all these weapons. We got Bijan. We got Tyler Algier. You know, we've got Darnell, Drake, Kyle Pitts. Ray Ray is a guy. You know, where are our weapons at? Is our quarterback healthy? Well, I've told you all along he's healthy. I think he proved to you, everyone, that he was healthy. But he said something to Dave Archer in post game. And basically, the offense was unlocked, and Kirk Cousins is the reason and where he's at. And Josh Kendall went on with Dukes and Bell a couple of days ago. I thought he was brilliant. He said, Kirk's healthy. I just don't know if he's comfortable. Well, I think Kirk has answered, is he comfortable? And what is he feeling?
I think the big thing I felt tonight that was different was I'm starting to anticipate more. I'm starting to kind of feel like I know where guys are going to be before they go there, and that's helping me play faster, play a little more confidence, throw the ball a little more decisively, and I think that made a difference tonight. But it's just one of the many things where we're kind of improving each week.
Dude, and I love that you mentioned it, like a level of comfortability, because I think I think the offensive line played very, very well last night against a team that gives you a lot of fits from time to time in terms of the way they're going to attack the box. But I thought Atlanta's offensive line stepped up to the task last night and allowed him. Now, a lot of people are going to point to the sacks, and you and I talked about it earlier. Dude, when you're dropping back to throw 62 times and you have 58 pass attempts on the night, you're bound to get sacked at some point, especially when you have – an aged athleticism, we will call it right here. So I thought they did a great job of, you know, kind of keeping him comfortable back in the pocket, allowing him to step into his throws, although I know there's people out there on the socials who don't think he's stepping into his throws. Kadarius Hodge, though, man, to me, is still the man of the hour. I got to ask you this, and I'm curious if either Day-Day or Dylan were able to do this. Did you see the video after the game where he does, like, this video for the Falcons social? And I know there's people out there that saw this. And you can't see it on Twitter because the window's small, but when you open the whole video and you see this brawl going down in the background, there is some girl in the background of Kadarius Hodge's postgame video throwing haymakers in the first row of the bins last night. Kadarius Hodge is like, Yeah, we're in here.
He's crying. Hey, it's in tears here. Flowing down.
We're in here, baby. We did it. And in the background, some girl just drops the gloves like a freaking hockey game. It starts going over the top with some tomahawk chops on some lady.
All right, I want to make sure you guys 404-726-0929. Call us. How do you feel about last night? But also, I have got Drake London's numbers and Kirk Cousins' numbers. Their last two games against Tampa Bay are staggering. Staggering. And I know one of them wasn't here, but I mean, I think this needs to be talked about. But we are today, I don't care where we're at. I know it's only five games in. We're celebrating the fact that we've 2-0 against our two rivals, back-to-back wins, and we're in first place, baby.
Yeah. It's a Falcons Friday, man. We ain't looking ahead. We're celebrating. Sal brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Murr, Falcons talk on the other side of the break. Stick with us. The Morning Show, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
And Hodge stays on the field with Mooney and McLeod. Here's Cousins with pressure. He's going to launch, and Mooney hangs on. Touchdown, Atlanta, on a bullet from Cousins.
Let's go.
Yeah, that was a bullet, all right.
Let's go.
Hey, guess what? He stepped into that one, Atlanta. This is the Morning Show Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Squibbly Bo Morgan alongside the All-American former Atlanta Falcon national champion Michael P. Johnson.
You're about to get a headbutt. I'm feeling jacked up. I headbutted Dylan last night after the win in Tutty.
I think
he's shaking his head. He's like, man, I got knocked out.
Well, I got a shoulder jab from the quarterback.
Is that what happened?
You know, pull up the Hodge touchdown real quick. I want you guys to hear something.
A little frog in his throat at one point. Phone lines are open, by the way, 404-726-0929.
So I'll tell you something. As soon as the touchdown happened, like as when Kadarrell broke the tackle and he split it, I jumped straight up. I'm pretty sure. I had a little bit of a moment where I'm not sure what booth cam's going to show, but Arch has a moment in his call and his analysis of what happened. See if you can catch it. Let's hear it.
Not as big a receiver though, obviously.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarrell Hodge, 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15, 10, 5, bang. Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons.
He looks at me as he says, are you serious? And I'm like,
he almost let it dig.
Tell you something, that's the excitement in that radio booth. You know, I've been in that booth for since 2012, and I've been with the network since 10.
It's a beautiful thing.
It feels like there's an explosion right now because we have been waiting for these moments, Mike, since Matt's been gone, really since 17, to win games like this, and we've won three of them like this, and man, it feels good. That's why I'm interested to see how everyone else out there is feeling.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, phone lines are wide open, 404-726-0929. Let's take a call. Let's go to our buddy Matt out in Covington. Matt, good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Falcons Friday. Hope you're enjoying the victory.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am, because today is my birthday. So
happy birthday, man. Happy birthday, Matt.
Appreciate it. But Bo said it, man. I think Bo said it earlier that he wanted to give a shout out to somebody special on the offense. I want to give a shout out to Darnell Mooney, man. Like, both Darnell Mooney and London had both over 100 yards. London had 150. Mooney had like 100 yards, and I believe both of them had a touchdown. And this is what I'm talking about. And if you go back and look, the way Ramin Morris and Kirk Cousins looked at each other at the end of the game, they both looked at each other and said, Morris said in his face, you are the guy and you are the reason why I brought you here in Atlanta. Let's go.
Let's go.
Nice. Love it, Matt. Hey, Matt, I got a number for you. You want to talk about Darnell. Yeah. Darnell played phenomenal. You want to talk about Drake?
Yeah. Let's talk about Drake.
Drake London's last two games, now one of which was Desmond Ridder throwing to him in this game, but last two games against Tampa Bay, he has caught 22 balls for 326 yards with a touchdown.
Ooh.
So I know Antoine Winfield was out, but he's not guarding Drake. They don't have an answer for Drake right now in Tampa Bay's secondary. Well, 326 yards and 22 catches in two games. I'll tell you something. Drake London, I think fourth fastest to 2,000 yards as an Atlanta Falcon receiver. I don't know what y'all need to hear, but Drake London has progressed into a hell of a player. He is, he's kind of got that, was it Mike Evans? Mike Thomas.
Yes.
In New Orleans.
Yes.
Where he wasn't burning you, but he was making every catch, contested or not. It reminds me of Michael Thomas' heyday with Drew Brees.
Yeah. Does such a good job coming back to the ball. And honestly, I think Drake London's done better this year of breaking tackles, getting up the field, trying to get to the sticks, and doing a number of other different things, man.
Yeah.
He seems like he's more complete now. Not that he hasn't been, but I can see the awakening coming from his relationship with Kirk Cousins and the timing that kind of comes from that. So it's been beautiful to watch.
And Darnell Mooney is that I think he's that guy that Kirk had. He has some great chemistry with Drake, but just the difference in who Drake and Darnell are. He has the same chemistry with Darnell and same trust, and it's allowing him to just turn it loose for these guys. He had to throw it to Darnell to get a first down, where Mike, he's on the, I think it was in the third quarter, everything he wants to do is on the right side, and I know that because Arch did a phenomenal job of breaking it down. It's not like I'm just trying to say I know everything. But everything,
you're not drawing it up on the whiteboard.
Everything he wants to do on the right side, in the last second, he's like, I got to get rid of this, and he looks over, and Darnell's running a bench or an out, whatever you want to call it. And he just unloads it, and Darnell had ran the throw, and Darnell's route broke him open, and it was another play where they moved the chains.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, the highlights are rolling on TV right now. I still can't believe that on 4th and 15, threw an interception with 1:45 left, and then here we are today talking about a Falcons victory. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's bring in Walker from Winder. Walker, good morning, man. Happy Falcons Friday.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Squid Billy, and good morning to the All-American Mike Johnson.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, Welcome in. Welcome in.
Dude, I got a couple things, but can we give Kirk Cousins credit for him going through his reads all night and that offensive line holding it down for him to be able to go through his reads?
Yeah, talk dirty to me, baby. Talk dirty to me. And, that's what I'm talking
and
about.
And also, the offense, how about the play with 1 second left to spike the ball, to call that gutsy play to go right down the middle, the offensive line hustling to the line to get up there to spike the ball with 1 second left to kick a field goal for Young Wiku. That was just amazing.
Yeah,
it's a really good point, and I want to add to that. You mentioned everyone in there, but one of the most important parts about that play is Drake to make the catch and to go down when he did, because he still had room, and your instinct in that play is to keep fighting, but the situational awareness to go down immediately – like he did, I think helped onto it. Arch and I talked before the game, and we talked on pregame as well with you and Chris Goforth. He talked about how Tampa will disguise their blitzes so well, and they're coming from everywhere. And I think that's a good point, that the offensive line was able to find it, pick it up for the most part, other than, you know, when Vita Vea gets on Bijan. But for the most part, pick it up, and gave Kirk enough time. And Kirk, his clock in his head was, I can't stick on these routes long. If it's not there, I got to move to the next read. I thought he did a really good job of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. There's a couple of things about the spike that I think that I want to point out. First and foremost, the real real MVP in this might be just straight up the referee that just touched the ball. I don't know if anybody did not see it last night, go back and watch the referee that is in charge of spotting the ball. And he's like, dude, I don't want to be part of the show. I'm simply going to touch this ball down. That's my spot, and I'm getting out of the way. The other thing is, and you and I slept here last night.
Yeah.
Because we got off so late, so I don't know if you were able to see this, but the interaction between Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick on the Amazon set last night.
I didn't get to see this.
Okay, so Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of asked him about how ballsy it was that you throw the slant right there at the end of the game with 12 seconds left. And Kirk says, you know, Zach Robinson gets my ear. He says, hey, we're going to go to the boundary. We're going to try to get what we can, and we're going to get out of bounds at the boundary. And then right before they're about to, put the play in, he goes, screw it. Throw the slant. Just last minute made the decision. Hey, I guess him and Raheem got together, said we can do it. Throw the freaking slant in the middle of the field. I thought to go forth about this last night as well. This is it. You know, when you see head coaches – and they create these situations in practice. Hey, you guys got a minute 20, two timeouts, right? And you practice the situations with the field goal team running on the field or clocking it, or you also have a four-minute mode where the quarterback is dropping back as much as he can and he throws it really high and tries to waste as much time as he can. I'm pretty sure, I'd have to go back and check, I'm pretty sure that the threshold for that, for when a head coach makes a decision that, hey, we can clock this fast enough. I'm pretty sure it's either 13 or 14 seconds. To where a head coach, when they look at their sheet, they say, hey, we actually have enough time to get down in bounds and clock this ball. I don't think it's – I'm pretty sure it's 14 seconds.
Well, Art said
– you're down to 12, and you're going, you know what, man, I think we can get it done.
And we talked about it on the broadcast. Art goes, not enough room for the middle. You've got to find something on the outside. And, you know, I just don't think they can get it done. And when they do it, it was just like – Wes looks at Arch, and I look at Arch because we all look, and all I hear is, wow. And it was because it was perfectly executed. It reminds me a couple years ago in college football when TCU goes on the undefeated.
Yeah.
That they're winning all those games.
Yep.
And Sonny Dykes says, screw it, I'll run the field goal team out there. I got plenty of time. And he goes, well, we practice it. He goes, we practice this every – we knew exactly how much time we needed. I also think that it's important to touch about – that's why Raheem is here, and that's why Zach Robinson is here. And we may have not had trust in everything that we've seen so far this year, but they've got the, as I like to call, the testicular fortitude
to
trust everything they've worked on and their players. And I don't know if a lot the old school thinking doesn't always, you know, play to that. It's play it safe.
Aggressive, right. Aggressive decision making. Not play calling, aggressive decision making and play calling. And look, man. We'll continue to roll on this Falcons victory Friday. And I had that thought, Bo, and you're going to love it. It's an imperfect team, but it's my imperfect team, right? And this team's got some things to work on. But, boy, they're a gritty group, dude. A gritty group of dudes.
Keep your phone calls coming.
Yeah.
We're going to get to more of
these. Stay on the line.
But also, at some point, I'm going to get to Kirk Cousins numbers I thought about. But yeah. I can't go any further, Mike. I cannot go any further in this show. Without eating crow. I was very hard on one player this week because I felt like they deserved it, the tough love, and their flowers are coming.
Mm. Nick and Gwinnett will be getting to you next when we get back on the other side of the break. Stick with us, man. It's the morning shift on a Victory Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live here on the morning shift. Me and Squid Billy. Team No Sleep, baby. You thought you were going to get rid of us last night. We ain't going nowhere. We're in your speakers this morning. We're talking about a Falcons victory Friday. The Falcons went 36-30 in overtime last night in primetime. What a night, Bo. What a night.
I'm watching the condensed film on my iPad of the game, and I just saw the Kadarius Hodge touchdown. And, I mean, it sneaky fast because when he breaks the tackle and he steps his foot on it.
Yeah, he was ready to go.
There's like $5 that converge right there, and none of them could get the angle on him. And it's a great run after catch. It's something that you and I talked about last year.
Say it again, dude.
The word yak. And and I know y'all are familiar, but just in case you got your youngin' in the car, I'll explain it for him. Yak is yards after catch. So the yards you gain running with the ball after you catch it.
Yes.
And it's been and we talked last year when we didn't have Darnell Mooney. And we didn't know what we were getting from Kyle. And we said, man, I think we both thought that if we could get Kadarius Hodge running the right routes, which we didn't really have a lot built into that offense, it felt like last year,
yes,
that he could be a guy to get a lot of yak. And Kadarius talked about the fact that they make fun of him because you're so slow. Darnell Mooney said it in his pressers, like, you see how slow he was running? But he was running just fast enough to beat an entire second. The 5 to 6 guys in that Tampa Bay defense, not named Vita Vea.
Yeah, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're going to continue to talk about Kirk Cousins. We're going to give Kyle Pitts and all the other players their flowers. We'll also talk about the sequence of events coming up at the top of the hour. You'll hear Kirk Cousins talking to Dave Archer. For right now, though, let's go back to the phone lines and let's get to our buddy Nick over in Gwinnett. Nick, good morning to you, man. Happy Falcons Friday. Thanks for calling.
Man, happy Falcons Friday to y'all. This is the representative of Squid Nation out here in Grayson, Georgia.
Let's go!
Just want to let y'all know that the Falcons are back. Kirk Cousins is the real thing. For him to be able to throw that interception, to go out there and sit on the sidelines and get back out there and get it done is just unbelievable. And man, I'm just fired up.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. We're fired up too, man. We had to tell Dylan. Yeah, man. Thanks, buddy.
You.
I had to tell Dylan during the break. I'm like, dude, if I'm too amped up, tell me to tone it down. But I can't help it, man. I still, we're going on 6 hours or whatever it is, 7 hours since the end of the game. I still feel like I could run through that door.
I just told Day-Day I feel free. And he says, what do you mean? And I said, well, I feel like an eagle flying across the United States with AirPods in, and it's Freebirds playing. But it's not like any regular – it's the Play It Pretty for Atlanta version where the solo is really long, and the solo is just playing on loop. That's what I feel like right
now. Let's get to one more call real quick, and then I got a question for you. But first of all, let's go to our buddy Troy over in Atlanta. Troy, good morning, man. Happy Falcons Friday.
Hey, man, happy Falcons Friday, man. Squid, I love you. I've always wanted to say this. Let's go, Mike Mafioso. Ah! I've always wanted to say that, man.
Well, I don't know why you chose violence. Troy, why'd you choose violence this morning? We're in celebratory.
I don't know. I've always wanted to say that. But, man, let me tell you, man, I'm so happy, man. We gave Kirk all that money. Kirk showed out. Mm. And the best thing about it is after the game, not even after the game, fourth quarter, when they thought the game was lost, I got on Facebook because I'm a NFC South Facebook fan group, and the Saints were hating on us so bad. Oh, my gosh, they were hating on us so bad. And some guy posted, oh, Bucks, thank you for humbling the Falcons fans. And all the Falcons fans got on there and was like, this did not age well for you, man.
Roasted him.
It did not age well for
you. I love it, man. Hey, thanks for the call, Troy. Yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing. It's the first place Atlanta Falcons will be celebrating all day today. I want to ask you this question, and I know that you got to give some flowers out. I said this on the pregame, and I tweeted it, that the last 13 primetime games for the Atlanta Falcons, 13-0 was the under going into yesterday. Obviously, that didn't happen. I don't know, and I said this to you earlier, I don't know that I've had a complete change in direction about a unit the way I do this offense from last week to this week. Last week, I just was like, dude, this offense is hopeless. Like, I don't know that we're ever going to get going. And this week, you just have Kirk Cousins throw for a freaking franchise record, 509 yards. I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you this. I've never felt more differently in a one-week span than I do about this offense, dude.
I mean, unbelievable. You had two guys go well over 100, and you had another guy right at the cusp of it. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins real quick?
Let's talk about him.
His last two times he's played Tampa Bay. Now, I know one of those was with Minnesota to start the season last year. Doesn't matter. His last two games against Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles' defense, 79 for 102, 853 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He took 6 sacks, 4 of which last night. 853 yards in 2 games against Tampa Bay's defense. And one of those was completely healthy because that was week 1 last year. That is phenomenal, guys. And now I know they were missing Antoine Winfield. Well, hell, we were missing Troy Anderson. We were missing Drew Dahlman. So we're missing guys too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're also missing D. Alford after 7 minutes in the game.
That's right.
Which was crucial to
and
me.
And we missed our number one, what many would believe our number one receiver on the most important play of the game, which was the last play. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Kyle Pitts, and I've been at it with you guys on the socials, and because I'm a Kyle Pitts guy. I've watched him ever through college, and I have not liked what I've seen. I didn't like what I saw last week. But he walked out there today, last night, and he was a man on a mission.
Yeah.
A man on fire. And from the get go,
he was a little upset with the whispers out there.
Well, it wasn't whispering for me. I was loud and clear.
I think that we had every right to be. And I mentioned this to Goforth last night, and I know you'll continue, but I had to say this. I mentioned this to Goforth last night. The alternative storyline about Kyle Pitts last night. Think about if this happens. If there's a big drop, or if Kirk is not coming to him early in this game, and let's just say the Falcons and everything starts slipping away, right? There is a good chance that at some point yesterday, because of the mounting frustration in Kyle Pitts' corner, that he just becomes so frustrated that he kind of clocks out, right? Becomes less involved, that you don't see the grit and the attitude and the effort moving forward. And yet, you get an explosive from him early. The defense, the way they were playing him, allowed him to kind of utilize his skill set, some of the underneath stuff, some of the zone, and he gets rolling, and all of a sudden, it just feels like you plugged Kyle Pitts right back into the outlet,
yeah.
And he came back to life all of a sudden.
He's like a Tesla that went too many miles and couldn't find an outlet station. Finally, you told him.
I don't know why you went with Tesla. I was like, man, he just needed a little gas. Oh, well, just needed to fire it up.
You said he plugged him in, and I mean, yeah, you don't plug in a gas. All right, you know that first route he ran last night? You know why it looked so great and you had a little bit? Because he ran it aggressively and he ran it crisp, all right? And it was a sharp route. he did a good job of finding the zone, the holes in their zone last night with what they were doing, because they're bringing five guys a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where their defense is. He also, though, he was physical in his run and pass blocking, and he was chipping at times. He played his most complete game. I am so proud of the effort we saw last night. We get that week in and week out with the anticipation that that Kirk has, and Kyle's going to get a lot of yards. There was a throw last night where the defender never turns his head, and Ray-Ray is on the sideline there, and Kirk just loops it over the defender's head, and Ray-Ray
it's
turns
timing.
Around backwards and like, oh,
it's timing.
Blank.
Yeah, I know exactly
that's
what you're talking about. Where he
I'm going to catch it.
Kind of backs out
yeah.
of bounds.
Yeah,
no,
it was a great play.
And that was honestly my – well, what's different in the passing game? You know, what's the biggest takeaway? First of all, I think the way they were choosing to attack, kind of going with zone coverage at times. They're obviously, you're always going to blitz a lot in a Todd Bowles defense. And they got home a couple of times. All right, but it was like a volume passing day, obviously, from Kirk. And I can't say enough about the freaking timing. The timing, man. Like, so many times that Kirk, in stride, gets to his hitch, makes his read, delivers the ball, and it's before that guy even comes out of their break. And Drake London, Kyle Pitts, all these guys are turning around and catching this ball, and they're able to, because of that separation, make a move, gather up a little yak, and create explosive plays.
I think it's a lot of it's an understanding of what they're doing on defense. And then the other half is the trust, and your guys know what they're doing, and they're running the right. They're making their breaks at the right time. The timing was impeccable last night.
Yeah. Hey, G Money and Kennesaw and Leanne and Dekula will be coming to you. Phone lines are wide open. 404-726-0929. Stick with us. It's the morning shift. It's a Falcons Friday.
Rise up.
Rise up, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.